is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Hello, you're listening to Road to the Draft, episode 8 on afl.com.au. Cal Toomey, our draft guru, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Nat. Good to have you back.
Yeah, where nice to be back. Oh, just went down to Port Douglas for a week.
Up to Port Douglas.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't do very well at geography at school.
Fair enough. How was it?
Brilliant.
The geography?
Yeah. 27 degrees every day. The beach was beautiful. Went snorkeling. Oh, saw the Great Barrier Reef. How was Melbourne?
Oh, you missed about 6 podcasts this year, Nat. I'm glad it's on your priority.
Are you getting the hint that I actually don't want to do this podcast with you anymore?
Well, if that's joking. The way it's going to go, no. Then why not?
No, I don't want to be replaced by that. Is it Mick Cleary?
I think that's his name. I'm not sure. He's sort of moved into the office in the last couple of months. I don't know who he is, but he sort of muscles in on Footy Feed on Fridays.
I know. Well, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have
again.
You back.
I was jealous, though, because I was following whilst I was on the beach. I was following Twitter, and it was going off on Saturday during the Vic Metro Allies
game. What were you doing on
game?
Twitter on the beach?
Well, I was sun tanning, so no. What else are you going to do?
Get I'm off your to phone. Be...
I find
you've
that
got
very
a week. You've got a weekend off footy, and you're on the beach.
And I watched footy at the pub, like every weekend. Anyway, look, I need some work-life balance. That's clear.
So you're watching the scores come through, and you saw
Ben King.
What was a pretty good ending, wasn't it?
Jeez,
it was a good game.
The hero.
Well, a tight game. I'd say it was a tight game, competitive game. Watched it on the live stream from Melbourne, and yeah, I mean it was a good game. Yellows probably deserved to win, to be honest. They had more scoring shots and a couple of shots late that. Didn't go their way. Nick Blakey had a shot at goal that didn't get there. And Tyron Thomas, with about 2 minutes to go, had a shot on goal from about 50 out, 45-degree angle. Sailed out of bounds on the full. And then Vic Metro swept it forward. A couple of key players were involved in that passage of play, including Bailey Smith and also Xavier O'Hallahan. So, sorry, I just forgot Bailey's name there for a second. But they are pretty integral in that passage of play. Got down in the forward line, and Ben King, who had been pretty quiet all day, and we'll get to that, but he kicked the goal to win him the game, keep him unbeaten, which is a bit of a shame for the Allies, but Vic Metro 7-10-52 beat the Allies 6-14-50. So
was it windy?
Well, I wasn't there, but it didn't look overly windy, but it was at Southport, which is a pretty open ground.
Yeah.
So it was fine conditions up there. So yeah, it was a good win for the Metro boys. They go into round 3 this weekend's big game against Vic Country unbeaten, and Vic Country go into it beaten because they haven't won a game yet.
Yeah, which is unfortunate for them, but certainly Vic Metro in very good form. Talk us through some of the other really impressive performers.
Yeah, well, for Metro, obviously, as I said, Ben King kicked the late goal, but it was pretty quiet throughout the day. Dylan Williams kicked 4 goals from 6 marks for them, so he was pretty important up forward. Mentioned Bailey Smith before. He had 26 touches. Just continues to get the footy and thrive in the midfield there. Riley West has been good so far in the championships. 28 disposals, 14 contested for him. Bulldogs father-son, obviously. Mm. So they'll be watching him very closely. Buku Kamas and Isaac Kwena, a couple of African players of descent there, playing for Vic Metro and off half-back, really good. Isaac Kwena has just had a really good season. He's one of those really trusty half-back players who can play on anyone, really. Smaller types, taller types. Uses his body where he needs to, uses his pace where he needs to. Pretty good rebounding player. So Collingwood would have a beauty there. I think he's going to be a really good player at AFL level. Zach Butters was good again through the midfield. Of course, Zach Butters has got a timeline on his season, really. He's playing with a shoulder injury that he suffered earlier in the year. He's going to have surgery in a couple of weeks at the end of the championship, so that'll be season over for him. But what he's shown so far has been enough to suggest he'll be on an AFL list next year. A smaller type who has some good run through the middle and can kick goals. Will Kelly was quite good in defence, another potential pie, father-son prospect for them. Curtis Taylor is worth mentioning as well. Got a knock to his leg again, kicked 1 goal from 14 touches, but is in a bit of doubt this week, having already received a bit of a knock the week earlier. So we'll see and hope that he gets up for this week's clash against Country. For the Allies, though, Fraser Turner is turning heads. I didn't mean that as a bit of a pun. I just came up with that. Then 25 touches, 9 marks, plenty of run, great aerobic base. And he's someone who, if the – I've just been to recruiters in the last couple of days – if someone sort of looks at the players and the prospects available and looks at how the rule changes that are – sort of might come into the competition next year in terms of rotations and all this sort of thing. Maybe decreasing. Fraser Turner can just go. So he's a prospect who won't appeal in that respect. Bailey Scott backed up his opening game with 19 touches. Tyron Thomas was pretty good in the second half, apart from that miss. Mm. Tom Green, the grandson of Richmond Premiership player Mike Green, he kicked 2 goals. So he's one to look for and has been pretty consistent so far this season. Chase Jones was good again. And Jacob Kaczynski, a cousin of Justin.
I like that.
Out of the Murray Bush Rangers, about 195 centimetres. He held King goalless until that final minute or two. So King was coming off a 5-goal haul the week before against WA. And yeah, it was really good. So it's obviously a fair notch on your belt to keep a top five prospect pretty in check until the final moments there. So a good performance from Kaczynski. And look, there's not a lot of key defenders out there at the moment in this year's draft. And to stop King was a good effort from him. Nick Blakey only kicked 1 goal from 7 touches coming back from injury and illness. And Riley Collier-Dawkins was knocked out the week before, so missed the game. So there's some of the names that were out there in that one.
On Ben King, obviously with Max going down with that injury, Ben's gone forward, but he's played defence. Where do you, the more you see him play, where do you think his best position is? Do you know yet?
I guess everyone loves forwards, don't they?
Yeah.
Big marking forwards. I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen him play sort of great games up forward now. He was best on ground for the AFL Academy against North Melbourne's VFL side as a key defender. So I sort of like him as a forward. I think that he's very dangerous up there. But maybe at the next level, he's going to be one of those players who can go either end. I'm not sure which one it is for him at the moment. I know, so he probably likes kicking goals. I know Max, I think on the podcast that we had on earlier in the year, I think he mentioned that he sort of sees him more as a defender.
Yep.
Probably because he's seen him play there more. But it's a good thing to have in your game where you can genuinely go both ends.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've seen that with like the likes of Tom McDonald.
I don't think recruiters are going to be too disappointed. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no.
They're not going to be too disappointed in the fact that they might not be able to nail a specific spot for him because he's so good at both ends.
The other game was on Sunday between South Australia and Vic Country. And as we mentioned, unfortunately, Vic Country haven't managed to get a win yet in the under-18s champs. It was South Australia 11-7-73, defeating Vic Country 6-10-46. Now, I've seen an article on afl.com.au and we'll talk about that a little bit later in terms of potential number one picks, but everyone is looking at Jack Lekosius.
Yeah, and for good reason. He started his championships really well, kicked 4 goals in their first game. SA backed it up with 3 on the weekend. Doing it on the bit, really. Isaac Rankin kicked 3-2, so he's standing up. He hasn't had that absolute breakout game yet, but he's shown enough to suggest that he's going to be a really, really strong performer at this carnival. Hugo Munn can play at both ends of the ground too. Looks a nice top. 197 centimetres out of Sturt, so takes a good grab. Another tool that's combining well at the moment with Jack Lekosius up forward for SA.
Well, 9 goals between the three of them.
Yeah.
Very handy.
9
indeed.
Of 11. It was a pretty hard fought game actually for South Australia. They sort of broke away with it in the end. We'll chat to one of their stars shortly on the show. But Luke Valenti had 16 disposals, 14 tackles and 6 clearances. So he's been one of their best and most consistent players. Bottom major Will Gould did some good things, so he took the eye. For Vic Country, Sam Walsh, very good again. 25 touches, 10 tackles, 3 clearances. It's been to recruiters across the last couple of days as well. I mean, he's being asked to probably do more inside work as a midfielder rather than the outside stuff that maybe he does a little bit better at this point of his development, but he's showing no signs of slowing down, Sam, and he's just had an outstanding season. Consistent, runs with the footy. I know Kevin Sheehan on Prime Prospects a couple of weeks ago sort of spoke of him about being a little bit like Hugh McCluggage in the way he sort of runs from one end of the ground to the other and takes the ball with him. And yeah, he's just a star. Xavier Dersma off halfback as well, had 16 touches, 4 rebounds, nephew of former Melbourne Sydney player, I think it was Jamie. So, yeah, he's had a consistent year as well for the Gippsland Power. Just gets used everywhere across the ground for them. So, someone to look for if you're watching this week's game between Vic Metro and Vic Country, Xavier Dersma.
Talked us through the details of that game. When is it and where?
Yeah, at the G. So you can get down if you want to if you're in Melbourne. Game starts at 12:05 p.m. local time. It's also on TV if you can find the channel.
Which date?
Sunday. So it's a curtain raiser before the Carlton and Collingwood clash. So Carlton fans, you should get on down. You might see one of your first picks.
Well, they're looking like they might get the number one draft.
And
get the right
Collingwood,
going.
To be fair, given Quaynor and Will Kelly will be out there for Vic Metro. So some familiar names out there and certainly build up some interest into that one.
All right. Well, in a moment, we will speak about the number one contenders in this year's draft pool, which everyone loves, and we're very excited to talk about.
Everyone loves a number one, don't they?
Who doesn't? Who's been your favorite number one draft pick? I know, and I know you have pets every year, but over the last 5 years, who's been your favorite?
Since doing the draft properly. Yep. So in that period, we've had Tom Boyd.
Yep.
The year after, we had Paddy McCartan.
Yep.
2015, we had Jacob Wietering. Mm-hmm. 16 was Andy McGrath. 17, Cam Rayner.
I think I know who you're going to pick.
I don't think you do, because I got on very well with Paddy. But probably Paddy and Cam would be close. And obviously, Andy's come onto the Bombers and done great things. But in terms of actually getting to know the guys, I didn't get to know Andy quite as well as did Cam and Paddy. But Paddy's party going places, one of the original going places boys.
I know. And he's so great to talk to. But I reckon Cam Rayner, I just love watching him
play
this year.
He's very enthusiastic. Great kid.
All right. Before we get on to number ones, let's have a chat. And this was pre-recorded earlier in the week, but you sat down and had a chat with South Australian midfielder Jackson Hatley.
Well, Jackson Hatley does join the Road to the Draft podcast. Jackson, thanks for coming on the show.
No worries, Kia. Thanks for having me.
Have you assessed the championship so far? Obviously, South Australia unbeaten after a couple of games and looking pretty good. How have you seen it from your perspective?
Yeah, it's been a great start for SA, obviously, playing WA first up. We weren't too sure what to expect from them. And then we played really well as a team that game. They obviously struggled a little bit with the flight over from WA. That probably makes a bit of a difference. But, yeah, we got a really good first up win then. And then a real sort of grind game against Vic Country on the weekend. We had to really fight that one out. But all the boys are really up and about and pretty optimistic about what we can achieve moving forward and heading to Melbourne in a couple of weeks.
Personally, you've started in pretty good form as well. Obviously, had 18 touches against Vic Country on the weekend in that win and starting the opening game against WA. What did you go into the championship sort of hoping to prove from a personal point of view?
I think, obviously, it's just a great opportunity to play against the best under-18 guys going around. Obviously, when you play in your state, there's different sort of levels of footy and some guys are playing senior footy and then there's TAC Cup in Victoria. So I really just wanted to prove that I can match it and I'm one of the sort of the better players in the under-18 competition this year. I was pretty happy with my game against WA first up and then was a little bit quiet on the weekend, a bit more of a grind sort of game against Vic Country. But, yeah, really looking forward to these next two games as well and still think I've got a lot to prove.
Before we do get into the next couple of games and a little bit more about yourself, we may as well have a bit of a chat about some of the stars that you're playing alongside, because it is a pretty strong SA lineup. Tell us about Jack Lukosius and what makes him so good up forward. I mean, when you've got the ball in your hands in the midfield and you see him leading, I imagine that's a pretty good sight for you.
Yeah. Luko's obviously a star and he's obviously pretty high profile and everyone knows how good he's going to be. And he's just a really great person as well. He's really started to show some great leadership as well. We were down a few goals against Vic Country in the second quarter and he was probably the one who kicked a couple in a row and really steadied the ship for us. But obviously, if you run him through the middle and you see him coming at you, you're just going to put it in his area and he's probably going to mark it for you and then finish it off.
He'll do the rest. What about Isaac Rankin? Obviously, a member of the NAB AFL Academy alongside yourself as well. So you've gotten to know him quite well over the last couple of years. I mean, what makes him so special?
He's just obviously got a few tricks up his sleeve and really hard to play against.
You ever managed to catch him?
I haven't managed to catch him, no. I try and make sure he doesn't get the ball in the first place if I was playing him. Because once he gets it, there's not too much you can do. And I'm sure that the opposition teams have found that over the first couple of games. He does some incredible things each game. And I'm definitely glad I'm on his team.
And Connor Rose is another one who you spent plenty of time with. Where do you see him playing his best footy? I mean, I guess the luxury of midfielders that SA's got means that he can play in a few different spots and has played of half back and a half forward too. Where do you think he plays his best footy?
He's obviously one of those really versatile players who can genuinely play anywhere. The best footy I've seen him play has probably been as a sort of high half forward who can push into the midfield. And I think that's where he sort of played for North Adelaide. But as he's played some great footy off half back as well. And he's a real luxury for us, I think. He will be, you know, thrown around to a couple of different positions, and hopefully gets a run through the middle on the inside as well over these next couple of games. But he's certainly handy for us, and he's pretty classy wherever he goes.
Now, we are speaking to you, so we may as well get back on the topic of you, because you've had a really good year, and that's been across all forms of footy that you've played. Tell us about your senior debut for Central Districts and playing at Sandful level, and what that sort of meant for your footy.
Yeah, it's obviously a pretty big honour for me, and I was pretty stoked to be able to get the debut in round one against North Adelaide, doing the pre-season with all the boys, and then coming out with big sort of crowd. And yeah, you don't really know what to expect heading into it against these big bodies, but I think I was lucky enough to get a couple of early touches, and then that really set you in good stead. And now I've played a few games, you sort of think that you really belong at the level.
Did that did that take long to get to that point, though? I mean, you did play well from the start, as you say.
Yeah, I think we played a few trial games, and then during the pre-season, the coach was really good in getting lots of the older, more experienced guys to play against myself and a couple of other younger guys who have been playing as well. So it was more a bit of a wake-up call in the pre-season. Yep. When they were coming pretty hard at us. So that meant that for round one, I was going to be ready if I did get that opportunity. And yeah, it's been great. Loved it. And I think it's going to help me going forward, knowing those sort of bigger bodies and what to expect.
Have you already found that? I mean, you've come back to under-18 level the last couple of weeks for the championships, obviously having played a couple of months of senior footy. Have you already found a confidence that comes from within, from just having that experience?
I think so. I think it's a different style of game a little bit when you play back at under-18 level. Obviously, everyone's really talented and really skillful, but there's probably a bit of smaller body. So I've probably gone from someone at Centrals who might play a little bit more outside than inside to someone at an under-18 level who's pretty much spends most of his minutes on the inside. So it's a bit of a different role. But, yeah, I definitely get a bit of confidence knowing that I've sort of done it against the bigger bodies, and now hopefully can continue to do it against the under-18.
Can you just describe yourself as a player? I was going to ask you to do that. I mean, not everyone who listens to the podcast would have seen you play yet.
Yeah.
What do you feel like are your strengths, and where do you feel like you can improve as well?
I think probably work rate is my biggest strength. I look to really get to as many contests as I can and help out number all over the ground, and then being sort of a bit of a tall and mid, being able to go forward and kick goals. I really think that's something that can help me going forward and be pretty valuable wherever I play for in the future. And I think I've continued to work on my disposal going forward and done a lot of work on the sort of kicking penetration with Roy Laird, my senior coach at Sandful level. And I think that's continuing to get better. And, I just can keep improving in that area as well.
I know you've met recruiters from every club and sort of part of the NAB AFL Academy speed dating sessions that they do at different camps, and I've managed to be a part of that as well, and seeing sort of the guys roll through that. What's been like that for you? I mean, in terms of you're getting to know these recruiters, these guys that are going to judge you and assess you all year.
Yeah.
What's it been like to get to know those guys and get sort of familiar with what they're after?
Yeah, well, I think obviously having done it for a couple of years now, you come in with some preconceived ideas about them.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, to be honest, you hear some stories about Combine and things like that, and I heard some things about Choco Williams asking some pretty crazy questions, and so you almost assume that they're all going to be like that, and they're all just going to drill you and things like that, but you really get to know that these are just really good people, and all of them that I've spoken to have generally just been up for a good chat and, really good people.
You don't have to say which club, but has there been one or an interesting question that's put you by surprise or something that's just sort of taken you off your feet for a minute?
Yeah, I got asked about a year ago to name, I can't even remember the countries anymore, but to name three capital cities of different countries.
Right.
So that put me on the spot a little bit.
How'd you go?
I think I went all right. I think I got two out of three.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a bit of an interesting one that I wasn't really expecting. But they will I got to ask as well, to put myself in Cam Bancroft's shoes after the incident that happened with the Australian cricket team. So they will come out with some different ones at some stage to try and test you. But
and what was your response to that? Obviously, Cam Bancroft being suspended alongside Steve Smith and Dave Warner for the ball tampering incident in South Africa. What did you say?
I think the question was to put myself in his shoes and address the media the following day.
Right.
And ask why I didn't. I think I just said that, you know, as a young player coming into the team, I didn't want to let anyone down. And I wanted to play my part. But obviously, if I had my time again, I wouldn't do it. So.
Good response. Good response. Hey, you probably got some practice in public speaking. Tell us about being school captain at your school and what that sort of meant for responsibilities and how busy you are this year.
Yeah, obviously you do a fair bit extra with that, the captaincy responsibility. But the good thing is I've got a co-captain and two vice-captains as well. So, you know, the main thing I've been organising this year has been the Year 12 jumpers and getting them sorted.
How's it going?
It's been fun, but yeah, we're getting there. The order's been placed now and and we're on the way, so it's been good. But yeah, I'm really lucky to have those other people around me. I know some captains are standalone captains, but it means that we all help each other out and we've got certain things on that weekend. Or if I've got a big footy load, I can really lean on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the public speaking as well, you just get better with practice, I think, at it. And yeah, it's definitely a skill that I want to keep developing.
Good relationship with the principal?
Yeah, exactly. The old man's the principal, which, yeah, there's never been any issues with that. I've been pretty lucky, actually, to be able to grow up on a school my whole life. And in terms of being sort of having a love for sport, it's pretty handy to have an oval outside your house and basketball courts not too far away. So, yeah, there's never been any issues with Dad as the principal. And, yeah, I'm really thankful that he is because it makes training a lot easier. And things like that.
Absolutely. Now, big couple of weeks for the South Australian side. Got the weekend off this week and then the Allies next week and finish the championships on Wednesday, July 4 against Vic Metro. Hopefully for you guys, I think for everyone's sake, both sides are both unbeaten heading into that game just to make it a really big one.
Yeah. Obviously that would be an absolutely huge game if us and Vic Metro both got through unbeaten, but the Allies are a really good side this week, so we're not thinking about that too much yet. They've obviously had a really good start to the champs and pushed Vic Metro right to the end, so we're really focused on doing what we need to get that win first.
Well spoken, Jackson. Good luck, and thank you a lot for joining us on the podcast. Hopefully we can chat later in the year as things progress and get a little bit closer to the draft, but appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Cal. Appreciate you having me.
Jackson Hatley there from South
Were you
Australia.
School captain?
No, I wasn't. I was.
Jeez, I thought you're a certainty to be school
really?
Captain. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Absolute brown nose.
Come on! I was tennis captain.
Oh yeah.
And I was a house captain.
Okay. Did you go for school captain?
No. I was never going to get that one. Well, I didn't have the credentials. What?
No, I had no leadership role at school. No.
Not a leader. Just
I was
a
leader in actions.
I can imagine what you were the leader of.
Imagine
if you're.
What's that mean?
No, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
I don't think
that's suitable anyway for this podcast.
Wow. Hey.
But imagine if your dad was the principal at school and you had to see him every day and then go home.
Yeah.
Would you get
a list? Well, I think that lived on campus, I think. So I think he's saying they live on campus. So that's weird.
No, as in just
no. But as Jackson was saying in the interview, if you had listened, he was saying that there's an oval on his doorstep, so he's able to just get out there and have a kick, and it's been very good for his footy.
I know, but what if, as you asked him, like, did he have to be disciplined? Like, what if he actually got in trouble and had to go to the principal's office? That's weird.
Well, if you're school captain, you're probably dealing a lot with the principal. So no, I mean. It would be an interesting dynamic, but he's probably well used to it by now. It's like, you know, that whole thing, oh, you know, how do you get around your dad being famous? Well, he's just your dad. I'm not saying my dad's famous or neither is yours. But,
would you like to have a famous dad?
No, but if you spoke to...
Imagine if your dad was...
David Beckham.
I was going to say Liam Gallagher.
Oh, that'd be fun. Like Lennon and Jane. Yeah. That there's kids.
Back onto Jackson Hatley. Where do you think he's going to go on?
Differing views on where he fits in. I think he's top 20 for sure. Some have him in the top 15. Some might even have him in the top 10. But I think he's in that bracket of midfielders outside the early couple that I mentioned earlier and have mentioned across the last few shows in terms of Bailey Smith and Sam Walsh. He's not in that sort of category of what he can do. But I think he's probably in that next group of midfielders, maybe alongside Jai Caldwell, Riley Collier-Dawkins and himself.
All right, so we're midway through the year and earlier this week on afl.com.au you did a story about who are the number one contenders in this year's draft pool, and that's what everyone wants to know.
Yeah,
especially
everyone.
Well, especially the clubs down the bottom of the ladder at this point in time, which is Carlton, Brisbane, St Kilda. Obviously, do you think... So, Jack Lukosius, he's the one that everyone's talking about. Probably the best player going around, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's very good. He's very, very good, and he's shown it so far. Yeah, he's got the talent to be the number one pick. I think a lot of it's going to depend on who has the pick and who ends
and
up with the selection.
And needs space. Is that
well,
what you're
needs,
thinking?
But also, like, you know, if you're Carlton, there's such a desperate need for a midfielder there, and the Lions too need midfielders. But
can you overlook someone like Lukosius?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
You can. You definitely can. And I did a group of eight players, I think, the number one contenders, and they were Jack Lukosius, Sam Walsh, Ben King, Max King, Isaac Rankin, Tyrone Thomas, Nick Blakey. Nick Blakey and Tyrone Thomas, I don't think are going to be the number one pick because it's going to take someone to bid a number one pick.
And
as we know, no one really is going to bid a number one pick because you lose all the fun and games that come with having a number one pick doing your club.
Yep.
So rule those two out. But I think they're certainly in the talent pool, that group of sort of group of eight, that top group of eight. I think they're in there and they deserve to be discussed. And maybe a bid will come. Who knows? But I doubt it.
What about Max?
Isaac Rankin, I don't think he's going to go number one because he's 180 centimetres and not many 180 centimetres players go number one. Mark Murphy and Andy McGrath.
Nothing wrong with being small.
And Andy McGrath, too, that sort of bucked the trend on that front. But I don't think Isaac will go number one. Max King.
The injury. That's the question.
It's pretty hard to pick a player off an ACL at number one.
Yep.
But he is as good as anyone in the draft pool in terms of his talent, I think. So.
And you think recruiters saw enough from him?
Definitely saw enough. I mean, they're very comfortable with his talent, I believe, on the whole, and the ones I speak to. But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to go number one. I think he's probably now... There's that tiny, tiny, tiny element of risk. And look, maybe it isn't so tiny. It depends how the scans come up and how medical experts assess the knee and how it's recovered and been rehabbed in the next few months. But I think that puts him a little bit behind Walsh and Lukosius. Ben King is still in that mix. Some clubs do rate him as the best tall in it. So if he's ahead of Lukosius as a tall, then why isn't he in the number one discussion? Well, he probably is. So that's why he's in there. And then Bailey Smith as well, who... I threw in there in the article on afl.com.au this week. His form has pushed him into that sort of category and stratosphere where he just has to be considered. And look, he's a tough inside midfielder who can go outside, has good enough speed, good endurance, and you just know he's going to battle on for you for a long, 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 long time. So that's why he's in that group. And also, if you're not Sam Walsh's biggest fan, look, if there's some reason why you're not Walsh's biggest fan, you think he's too light or maybe a little bit more outside than Smith, then Smith's the next best midfielder who's available and not tied to an academy club. So that's why he's in that group. But when it comes down to it, I think the number one pick will come out of Lukosius and Walsh. That's not to say the other ones aren't worth mentioning, though.
Question without notice. If you're Carlton right now, and obviously they're on the bottom of the ladder, who are you taking?
If I'm Carlton, I would take Walsh. And also the thing with Walsh is that you have to, and that's why the number one picks may be a little bit different to necessarily pick 20 or pick 40 or pick 60. Number one pick comes with all this other stuff about how they're going to fit a culture and how they're going to sort of change that, or if they're going to change it at all, or if they're just going to go along and be a good player and just go with the flow. Like, that's why people like Haitley. He could be, that's why, you know, you speak to recruiters and maybe he's the type who can change a culture of a club or you know, have an influence on that, whereas some of the other guys might just be really good players. There might be quieter types who just might play their footy and then go home and play PlayStation, then come back the next day and do the same thing. So that's why Walsh has an extra sort of element to him. I think he's clearly the best leader of this group.
Also a Brisbane supporter.
He's going to have to move regardless of where he goes. He's not going to be going to Geelong. He lives in Ocean Grove, so he's got his head around the fact that he's going to have to move out of home to play an AFL
career. We saw last year someone actually, who was it? Was it someone nominated that they were happy to go to Brisbane. Was it?
Well, Josh Shackey did, famously.
Yeah, well, that was a few years back. But, like, could we see a potential situation where Sam says,
I'm sure he is happy to go to Brisbane. I think he would
be
happy.
I want to go there.
Well, Josh Shackey said that. And look where he is now.
So actually, you can catch a full interview with him on Footy Feed later on tonight.
Yes, you can. But look, he's. I think Walsh is the safest pick, and not just safe, he's deserving of being one of those top couple of picks. But then again, you look at Lukosius and you think, well, what more could he have done? He's done it against senior opposition.
Yep.
He's killing the competition now at under 18 level, and he's athletic. He kicks it well. Maybe there's a slight question mark on sort of the really, really competitive stuff and whether he's going to be a pack grab type of player. He's probably not that at the moment. Sort of, he's not a smash pack, push him out of the way type of player. More on the lead type of thing. But look, he's very natural, and he'd have to be right up there amongst the top, and he hasn't done anything wrong. So look, if I had to come down to it at the moment, it's out of Lukosius and Walsh, and given the clubs at the top two at the moment, Lions and also
St Kilda
as well, and Carlton, they need midfielders. That means Walsh just has to be in contention there.
Speaking of St Kilda, news filtering through last week that they're going to be making some changes, and unfortunately for Tony Elshaw, their list manager, he's going to be moved on from the role at the end of the year. They're sort of still working through all of that. Trout has been fantastic. He's been on our show a number of times, and we love having him in. Talk us through what your feelings are with the changes at St Kilda, and did you think it's the right move?
Oh, well, I mean, it's not my place to say if it's the right move or not, but I think to pinpoint their struggles this year on the recruiting or anything like that would be a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I think once the players get to the club, it's then another group of people's role to develop them and give them opportunity and give them consistent opportunity. I don't think that's always happened at St Kilda. I think sometimes the selections have been particularly conservative, and that's sometimes stalled the development of some players. Mm-hmm. Daniel McKenzie, for instance, played well on the weekend. Where has he been? Why hasn't he played enough? So by now he should have played a lot more games than he has. So he's just one example, I think, where that's sort of stalling things up, and that's maybe why it's all come to a head this year. And to some extent, the players who have had opportunities have probably let a lot of people down at the club this season and not going on with it in their development, just in themselves this season. We know who those sort of players are who haven't really gone up the level as much as the Saints might have expected. But look, Tony Elshaw was recruiting manager from 2011 to 14. From the end of 2014, was also recruiting and list manager, so really ran the department from that point. It was sad to see him go for him. And he'll be there for the rest of the season, sort of in that transition process, and hopefully, and look, there's a chance he still remains at the club. They've sort of spoken about the ability maybe to find some sort of role there, but we'll see what happens.
Who takes over? Do you have any candidates that you think in your mind, or do they need someone outside? Is it someone naturally progresses, or do you need to get someone from outside?
I mean, I don't think it'd be someone internally, because they sort of promoted Chris Liberatore to basically a national recruiting type manager. Earlier this year. So he's basically the recruiting manager at this point, and has been working alongside and underneath Tony for a long time now. So very experienced and very good recruiter as well. So I don't think that he'll be the list manager though, because he's just moved into that, sort of been elevated into that recruiting role, which is a sort of very different position to the list manager, where you deal with managers and out of contract players and work out who's there to target, and I guess the big decisions on who's there to cut it of your own list. Where they go, I'm not sure. It's an interesting time to do it. I mean, I don't mind, in terms of the timing, if that was the decision that they've all come to, then it's probably not a bad thing to get it done now, because I think everyone in the industry realises that trading season's probably just about to get into full swing, if it hasn't already. I mean, we all see the under-16 championships as a time where lots of discussions and chats between clubs and player managers start to happen up there on the Gold Coast when everyone's in the same area.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I expect that sort of is partly behind the reason to announce this now and then get on the search to work out who's going to sort of lead that.
So they're
department.
Ready in time for trade.
It's interesting. Where do they go? Do they get someone from another club? Do they look at a player manager, someone who's been around for a long time? And that's been
Collingwood did that with
Ned Guy. Adelaide's done that with Justin Reid, Brad Lloyd, famously, well, not famously, but a long time ago, left ESP to join Fremantle. So there's been some success down that angle, but I guess each club to its own, and we'll see how that happens. But obviously Trout's been a great friend of the podcast, and we thank him for coming on all those times.
Yeah, and we wish him all the best in whatever he chooses to do next. Twitter questions. Ooh, now.
What do we got?
We love these. Don't forget to tweet us. Luke wants to know, how will the new rules affect teams' selections on draft night?
Well, as I was saying before about Fraser Turner, they'd have to be aware of what may be coming in, I guess. But I don't think beyond the sort of, I don't think you should be picking in the top 20 based on what the rule changes might be. And the game changes so often that within 3 years it might have changed back. So I think at that point you've got to pick for the talent.
Simon asks, how's James Rowbottom looking and what type of player is he?
Yeah, he's a midfielder, an explosive midfielder with good pace out of the stoppage. Like he charges Vic Metro. He's been playing some good footy. He had 17 or 18 touches on the weekend for Vic Metro. Watched him play a couple of times at school level for St. Kevin's, and he can go. So he's pretty exciting. I think he's draftable in the top 30 or so.
This next question is from Cooper. Thanks for tweeting in, Cooper. Hey, Cal and Nat.
Oh,
hey.
Good to mention.
The Murray Bush Rangers have top age prospects Zane Barzin and Jacob Kaczynski playing in the national champs. Where do you think they will go?
Barzin hasn't had a very good year. He's had some injury setbacks and just has struggled to get going. So he's sort of a later chance. Kaczynski, because of the dearth of tall backs in this year's draft, I think he's looking pretty good. So sometimes by the end of the year, those guys shorten, if you know what I mean. They come in a little bit to the draft and push their way up the order because clubs realise there's probably not many of these guys to pick from, and maybe he's one of them. So Kaczynski, 30, 40, around that mark at this point.
Mr. Good Life has tweeted in.
Welcome to the Good Life. Remember that song, like Kanye?
Yeah. What round will...
The gym? Good Life gym? What else is good about life?
Lots of things. Free things. Mr. Good Life would like to know, what round will Buku Kamis get drafted?
Yeah, I would say at the moment...
Look into your crystal ball.
Not sure. He's shown a fair bit. Obviously, playing for Metro across half-back, Western Jets as well. As I said before, of African descent out of Sudan. So,
on his current form as it stands right now?
Yeah, well, the Bulldogs have first rights to him as well under the Next Generation Academy. So a bid may come for him. Somewhere inside the first 50. Yeah, I would say second or third round, maybe.
All right, this next question is a Dogs-based question from David. What would be your top 10 draft selections if it was held today? I'm interested in particular with the Dogs pick 5, wondering now if a king will be available at that pick. And I reckon David could very well be Ryan Davidson, who works for AFL.com.
Well, one of the kings I think could well be available pick 5. Don't know which one. But would you pick a taller if you're the Dogs? They're probably looking for a bit more class and pace and ball use. I think Ozak Rankin would be a good fit for the Dogs, to be perfectly honest, if he's available at pick 5.
What about Connor Rosie?
Bit early for Rosie, I reckon. Yep.
All right. What would your top 10 draft selections be?
Yeah.
Well, you did.
We'll get to that.
You did your... When is your first...
First Phantom Form Guide will be out after the championships and the day or two after. So,
all right.
Couple of weeks.
Stay tuned for that, David. Michelle would like to know, for the benefit of both players and clubs, when will the AFL finally raise the draft age to the year after year 12?
Not happening.
Boys can then finish studies without distractions, be more mature physically, play 1 year of league footy against men, and clubs get a more accurate look at what
they can spend their 19th year on the piss at uni. And
well, that's the thing.
I don't think it's a great idea, to be honest with you. That's my take. I know.
I think 18 is fine. Year 12 is fine.
I think having spoken to a lot of guys about the sort of stresses that come with their year 12, combining that with the footy, a lot of them actually spoken about how they quite enjoyed having the footy to balance off your sport your academic work and then vice versa. So it's not going to change. It's just not going to change anytime soon.
Sorry, Michelle.
I don't think it's going to happen. And the whole idea of playing 1 year of league footy against men and clubs getting a more accurate look at what they can do, I just don't think that works that way. I mean, and also the school system around the country is different for every state. So look at WA, they're already finished.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to wait an extra year?
Nah.
They're going to wait 2 years out? Angus Brayshaw, Christian Petrarca, these types, when they're ready to go, they're going to wait an extra year and just sort of, go nowhere?
Yeah.
Ozak Rankin, can you imagine Ozak Rankin not playing next year again? Like, he's ready to go at the end of last season. let alone this year. So he's just biding his time this year. Imagine if he had to wait another year.
And there could potentially be more distractions, not actually having a sense of purpose in a way.
Yep, absolutely.
For the kids. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that
either. Thursday nights.
Oh, uni nights. Uni night. Where did you spend uni night?
I hated uni, so I didn't really go out with my uni mates. So, but we used to go to...
Social butterfly.
We used to go to Seven nightclub occasionally.
Yeah, me too. We room on Tuesdays.
Yeah, but you're like a Hawthorne girl, so...
Yes, I am. All right, moving on. Jason would like to know, assuming Essendon have a pick in the 5
Jack, our producer, was a big Seven man. Yep. Yeah. Loved it.
Well, everyone loves Seven. We're probably all there at the same time. Oh, no, I'm a fair bit older. All right, let's move on. Assuming Essendon...
Jack had his 30th this year.
Oh, yeah, Jack and I are more on par. Mm. You're a young'un. Back to Jason's question. Assuming Essendon have a pick in the 5 to 10 range, who are a few of the players they would look at?
I think Bailey Smith is such a good fit for the Bombers, and if you were at Essendon, you'd be hoping he was available at their pick, whatever that one is and whatever it turns out to be, because he's the midfielder they need.
Send a note to Adrian Dodoro.
I'm sure he'll accept it. So, yeah, I'd be saying that if he's available, pick him up.
Brett would like to know, why would the Saints not try to exchange future picks, etc., to land both the King boys?
I think it's a good idea, this one. Mm. If you're the Saints, so this year, let's say you end up with pick 3 in this year's draft,
yep,
and you say to a club behind you, pick 5 or something like that, whoever's got pick 5 or 6 or 7, whatever it is, that's one of those clubs, you say to them, okay, we're going to give you our first pick for next year.
Yep.
We're backing ourselves in to be better next year. You can back us in to be perhaps
worse
or the same next year, whichever way. Find a club that believes that you're going to be worse or the same and say, let's swap first-round picks, maybe a swap of later picks.
Yep.
So then the Saints have 2 first-round picks in the top 6 or 7, and they
try and
package up the Twins.
I like that.
Their key position stocks are probably a little bit shaky at the moment. Hugh Goddard's, you know, it's uncertain whether he's going to get there. Paddy McCartan clearly just needs a good run at it with his fitness and stuff before any sort of assessment's made on him.
And then you've got 2 bookends.
Local boys as well. Obviously, they've grown up down the Bayside part of Melbourne. Sandringham Dragons, don't have to just go down South Road to Moorabbin. So,
great for marketing too.
Yes, and they're pretty smart characters. So
good,
I think it's
people.
A good idea. I'm sure they should look into that. They should look into it.
All right.
Well, and then that would mean that the Saints over 2 years have picked up 4 top 10 picks. You know, Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield last year.
And they're going
year.
Really well.
And let's for instance, say the King boys. That's a fair start if you're saying, let's turn this thing around quickly.
Yeah. Rebuild quickly. I like it.
Mm.
All right. Edward has tweeted in, hey, Nat, my name first, and Cal. Excluding mature ages in any given year, what percentage of the drafted 18-year-olds would have played in the under-18s national championships?
It's a question without notice, but...
Oh, of course.
I would say...
Just take a stab.
No, I actually don't know. Percentage-wise, it'd be 85. Yeah, around
85?
85%.
All right, go with that.
Ish.
Thanks, Edward, for your tweet.
Some missed through injury, some missed throughout, like just haven't sort of peaked in there. So he's obviously the one obvious one who missed last year was Ed Richards. Didn't play in the championships. Was hurt a little bit before the championships, sort of wasn't playing great footy before the trial. Missed the championships, came out afterwards for the Oakley Chargers and at school level for Carey Grammer and just blitzed it. And now he's a star, looks one of the best players out of that draft. So
loving watching him play, even kicking 3 goals going
He's good
forward.
Fun to watch, isn't he? He's sort of a different character, but yeah, he's playing good footy.
We love Red. This last tweet is from The Sainter. Great podcast. Thanks, The Sainter. Listening in Houston.
Houston, we have a listener.
Oh! You've workshopped that for 2 days,
I actually didn't. I just thought of it then. I promise you I just thought of that then.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I did.
Okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. The
Saints well, it's good to have the Saner on, by the way.
Yes, thank
Thanks for
you.
Tuning in.
We love it.
That's
if
pretty
Saints...
cool. That's pretty cool. Someone's listening to us in Houston.
I know, one person.
It's more
we
than
have
listen
one
to
listener.
Us in Docklands.
Yeah, it's true. If the Saints lost a couple of players through medical...
How about the other day? We had a colleague say to us, oh, maybe we should have an idea about getting Sam Power on the record.
On the record. And we were like,
the record about the Bulldogs list.
Bobo, Nick Bowen, he was on our podcast 2 weeks ago. Clearly a big avid listener of our show. We'll just out him. Nick Bowen, everyone.
Let's
get back to the Saners question. If the Saints lost a couple of players through medical retirement, particularly if they were in their best 22. Do you think that would qualify them for a priority pick? And if so, where in the draft? Now, we've been talking in our newsroom meetings about the priority pick. Do you think they should get one?
No. No, and obviously Dylan Robinson is, I guess, one of the guys he's talking about there, given his heart issue and out for the rest of the season, more tests to come, and no one's quite sure how to, or how that one's going to go. To be honest, the priority pick now basically exists for a couple of reasons. One, if a club is struggling for so long that it's just like a little fill up, like let's help them out, or in the terrible scenario where someone dies on the list. I mean, we saw that a long time ago with sort of the Troy Broadbridge situation. Yep. So I don't think players retiring through injury is part of that. I mean, that's just part of footy, unfortunately, through medical or injury reasons. It's like saying the Swans should get one because Kurt Tippett, you know, has a dodgy ankle or whatever. So, no, they won't get one. So, Sainer, sorry, mate, but you're not going to get a priority pick this year.
But thanks for listening.
Hopefully no priority picks are given this year.
Thank you to everyone who tweeted in. We really appreciate it. Make sure you do it in preparation for next week's show. Now, Cal.
What's the song of the week?
Well, I asked you that before we came in and you were like.
Oh, I had one prepared.
Oh, no, I don't have a song of the week. So what is it?
It's All the Time by the Kooks.
Nice.
They got a new song out. Yeah, I went and saw the Kooks earlier this year. They were good. But they're obviously English lads.
You've been everywhere. You saw the presets on the weekend.
Jet last week.
Jet. I saw that on Insta.
DMAs.
How's your old mate at the DMAs?
Johnny Took, yeah, he's all right.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Besties? BFFs? what about Cal's Cheap Eats? Have you had any freebies?
No, but I know you have. Now, now this is a disgrace.
No, it's not.
This is this is some really sort of shoddy behaviour.
What?
What happened this morning? That Natalie Edwards, what happened this morning?
Very formal. No, look, the AFLPA has launched a new partnership with athletic brand Lululemon, which just happens to be my favourite brand of clothing in general.
So how did you know about this partnership launch? How did it explain to the punters?
Well, no, so there's a press release that gets sent out, and we were attending that press conference, and it said that media that attend get a free gift bag, which is very exciting. So I sent an email saying we were attending with a camera, and one of our other reporters is going as well, and they asked us for our sizes, and we got some amazing goodies in a little gift bag.
What'd you get?
I got a pair of Lululemon tights and also a top.
Okay. And just for the record, Miss Edwards, did you attend?
Unfortunately, I was unable to attend in the end. But they they were so lovely, and they sent my gift bag home with Jen.
And you got a free feed out of it. That's why I'm coming back to this, because
I did. I got avocado on toast, and it was delicious, even though I'm not supposed to eat bread.
Okay. So you're the free feed queen of the show. This week, I was. And it actually looked
very
good.
I saw you with some free cake before.
Yeah, Cameron Oakes brought in some cake.
Good.
Our chief sub-editor.
I actually have got a piece on my desk.
So you topped that. You basically haven't paid
lunch.
For food all day.
No,
the avocado did look awesome. Yet. Anyway, if anyone's still listening to this, to this podcast.
Or if you have a place where we can get a freebie.
Lulu, what's it called?
Lululemon. The best
when
activewear
life gives you Lululemons.
Ever. Oh, you turn them into Lululemonade.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back, of course, next week.